Welcome to our ContemplativeActivist.com podcast. We believe Jesus of Nazareth is inviting a whole new generation of Christ followers to leave what we call 3B ministry, where we measure success using building size, bucks in the offering, and butts in the seats, and become 3C contemplative activists. For the true Christian life consists of communion with Christ, community with one another, and responding to Jesus' commission to go out into the world caring for souls, for the greater glory of God. We hope you'll enjoy today's program. And now, here's your host, Pastor Marty Bowler.
Hi, friends. Welcome to this ContemplativeActivist.com podcast. It's our hope that these podcasts will offer you a little bit of hope and encouragement as you continue your journey with Jesus. If you're just joining us, we are at the beginning of a blog and podcast series entitled Peacemakers for the Cause of Christ. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." As we see it, it's time for more of us to step out of the divisions that separate us from one another and allow Jesus to form and shape us into peacemakers for the cause of Christ, facilitators of God's peace in a world hungering for peace. Our theme this week is Peacemakers Take an Honest Inventory of Themselves. And our subject today is Time to Take a Bread and Fish Count. Today's Lectio Divina comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, and I'll be reading from the Message Bible. The apostles then rendezvoused with Jesus and reported on all they had done and taught. Jesus said, "Come off by yourselves. Let's take a break and get a little rest." For there was constant coming and going. They didn't even have time to eat. So they got in the boat and went off to a remote place by themselves. Someone saw them going, and the word got out. From the surrounding towns, people went out on foot, running, and got there ahead of them. When Jesus arrived, he saw this huge crowd. At the sight of them, his heart broke. Like sheep with no shepherd, they were. He went right to work, teaching them. When his disciples thought this had gone on long enough, it was now quite late in the day. They interrupted, "We are a long way out in the country, and it's very late. Pronounce a benediction and send these folks off so they can get some supper." Jesus said, "You do it. Fix supper for them." They replied, "Are you serious? You want us to go spend a fortune on food for their supper?" But he was quite serious. "How many loaves of bread do you have? Take an inventory." That didn't take long. "Five," they said, "plus two fish." Jesus got them all to sit down in groups of 50 or 100. They looked like a patchwork quilt of wildflowers spread out on the green grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, lifted his face to heaven in prayer, blessed, broke, and gave the bread to the disciples, and the disciples in turn gave it to the people. He did the same with the fish. They all ate their fill. The disciples gathered 12 baskets of leftovers. More than 5,000 were at the supper. If you read the gospel stories carefully, you'll find that Jesus of Nazareth so very often involves his disciples with the ministry he is doing, never seemingly content with doing the miraculous exclusively on his own. This amazing loaves and fishes story is one great example where Jesus pulls his friends into the story rather than allowing them to sit comfortably on the sidelines, watching this God-man from heaven pull off yet another miracle. You see, Jesus came to earth not only to save women and men from our sins, but to also gather up a bunch of ragtag common people, redeeming them from their sin and self-centeredness, and then proactively involving them with all the good God was doing around them. And as we see near the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus then commissions these same co-workers to continue his work long after he has departed from heaven. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, it reads this way, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" As we have discussed earlier, Jesus' first coming not only completed God's plan of human redemption, as Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished," but it also initiated or inaugurated a whole new dispensation of time the Holy Scriptures call the last days. And it's during these last days, as the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, when those who choose to follow the Master, giving our lives for His glory and purposes, are called and commissioned to keep the words and works of Jesus alive and well until His second coming, a day yet to be determined in some not-so-distant future. That's why everything Jesus said and did was carefully orchestrated by God the Father so that there would be a continuation of God's redemption plan from the day Jesus ascended into heaven right up to the day He splits the sky, returning to consummate that same kingdom, God's right to rule and reign, which was inaugurated with His coming in the first century. Now, here's a very important piece I want you to take note of. In the loaves and fishes story here in Mark's Gospel, Jesus asks His disciples a very important question that's a key point for us going forward in this podcast and blog series on becoming peacemakers for the cause of Christ. Let's look at the story once again. Jesus and His disciples have stolen away for some quiet R&R, but because of the Master's popularity, a multitude of people found out about their location and came in droves to hear and see this rabbi from Nazareth in person. As the hour got late, everybody's stomachs were growling, including the disciples, who hadn't eaten before they left for their retreat with Jesus. As Eugene Peterson translates it, when Jesus' disciples thought this had gone on long enough, it was now quite late in the day, they interrupted, "We are a long way out in the country and it's very late. Pronounce a benediction and send these folks off so they and we can get some supper." Jesus, knowing that this was yet another great opportunity to teach His disciples some more kingdom principles, replied to them, "You do it. You fix supper for them." They replied, much like you and I probably would, "Are you serious? You want us to go spend a fortune on food for their supper?" But Jesus was quite serious when He asked, "How many loaves of bread do you have? Take an inventory." Mark tells us in his gospel that taking an inventory of the bread didn't take very long. 5, they said, plus 2 fish. If you have a red marker, you might want to circle verse 38 in this story. "How many loaves of bread do you have? Take an inventory." You see, to Jesus, He can make dinner for 5,000 out of nothing. But rather than do that, He'd rather teach His disciples that in order to work alongside the divine, we must believe that God always prefers to partner with us in doing His work instead of doing it alone. Did you get that? When you and I decide that we are going to serve Jesus, giving Him our all in all and following Him, know that Jesus will rarely, if ever, work His wonders completely by Himself. His preference, my friends, is to always work alongside us, taking the treasures we have been given by Him, and as we willingly reinvest those treasures for His glory, He does what only God can do, a God-sized miracle. This kingdom principle is so very important as we live in this unique time called the last days, yet sadly it is so rarely taught. You see, this dispensation of time is all about the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh. Jesus is the one and only Son of God, but now, because of His first coming, He has opened up the floodgates, calling and commissioning regular old people like you and me to be adopted into the Holy Family, precious sons and daughters who can learn to live like our ancestors, Adam and Eve, were called to live. You and I are called as stewards of God's goodness. Why don't you see Genesis 1, 26 through 28 for that? In a world where good is being challenged to the hilt by flesh and evil every moment of the day. And it's the plan of God's kingdom in this dispensation to call people like you and me unto himself, women and men who will humbly take an inventory of all the good Jesus has deposited into our lives and willingly respond to the master, well, Lord, there's not a lot here, 2 fish, 5 loaves, but in and through you, this will be enough. As I see it, this kingdom concept of only being able to give away what Jesus has given us, and that God's plan has always been to work through us, is beautifully displayed in the ancient writings of St. Teresa of Avila. Let me quote her. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body on earth but yours. Let's pray. I stand amazed, Master, that you are never content in doing God's work by yourself. Your heart for proactively involving me both surprises me, for who am I to help the Son of God, but it also blesses me. I am humbled to be asked to help the Son of God. Holy Spirit, I welcome your leadership as I step boldly into this position of helping the Master do his work. May I do it for the greater glory of God, and for your name's sake. Amen. So here are some questions for us to consider today. So as we did in the last podcast and blog session, let's take another personal inventory. This time, let's look for some more good treasure that Jesus has deposited into my life over the years. As we mentioned earlier, we call these exercises putting on your peacemaker tool belt. I call this one taking an inventory of fruits and gifts. What stands out as I survey the treasure? Maybe the fruits of the Spirit might be a good starting point for us. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Or what about the wonderful gifts mentioned in Colossians 3, 12 through 15? It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Which of these fruits and gifts seem to be most evident in my day-to-day life? And now, as I report my inventory back to Jesus, am I willing to give him permission to use these treasures in caring for others in need? Finally, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know how you are experiencing God as you ponder on the theme of peacemakers for the cause of Christ. Go over to our website, thecontemplativeactivist.com, and click on the Contact Us page. We look forward to hearing from you. This is Marty Bowler, hoping your day will be full of God's presence, and may the good Lord bless and keep you. See you next time on The Contemplative Activist.